This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Previously on Top Beer.
Our show is nothing if not experimental.
Did you ever get bored of the old show?
Yeah, like, that's why I would always try to get guests.
My favorite part of the old show was listening to you rant.
We're right in some downtown LA. There's the mocha.
Do you think they have a lot of coffee art in there?
The mocha.
Bunker Hill, I think they call this area.
That sounds like a movie with fucking John Wayne or something.
It does, actually.
Bunker Hill.
With John Wayne and John Walters.
John Ritter's in it, too.
Yeah, it's called The Three Johns.
I don't think John Ritter was alive back then, and if he was, he was a baby.
John Ritter was alive back then.
If he
John
was.
John Wayne is still alive, isn't he?
No, he's been dead for a while.
How long?
I don't know, 50 years?
No.
I don't know. I literally have no idea. I have so much disdain for the desert, Tim. Do you even know how much I hate the desert?
Someone questioned your hatred. When I saw that person complaining and they compared it saying, you complain more about the desert than you left there than people who live here. You hate the desert so much, that's why you left. The people who still live there obviously don't hate it as much as you. So yeah, you're going to talk shit about it more. Because you hate it more than them.
Yeah.
They stayed. You left. There's a reason why you left. Because it fucking sucks.
Now let me ask you. Do you drink a beer, at least a beer a day?
Or no.
No?
Okay, so sometimes I drink a good amount. Never like crazy getting drunk. It's like you see the kind of beers that I drink. It's like just getting some craft beers that I enjoy the taste and drink.
I'll have one a beer a night if I have beers in the fridge, and then if I don't, I'll wait till the weekend and buy more beer.
Plastered on the last episode of Talk Beer.
Well, I had three freaking Saisons. I wasn't and by the way, I think I'm starting to like Saisons.
So, Adrian, what we're going to do today is we're going to El Segundo Brewery. They are the company that makes the Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA. Because we like to do beer styles on the show, or because that's the concept of the show, that we'll do that because this place has enough IPAs where we can actually probably get 4 or 5 IPAs all from the same brewery.
Did you hear about this? Did you
see this? Did you hear about this?
that one ad, that Chinese ad, was like for a cleaning product. And like this black dude walks into this woman's laundry room, and then she puts him in the washer. And then when she opens the washer, he comes out, and he's like a light-skinned Chinese man. And there's a huge amount of, and basically the people that made the commercial were like, yeah, you Western audiences are just too easily offended, so we don't really give a shit.
So we do get offended too easy, and maybe we should like, rather than just saying like I'm offended, we should like push the issue and make like try to fix the problems, I guess, would be the thing that makes more sense, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, yeah, what good is it to just say, like, that's offensive? Although, the thing about washing the black guy and he turns into a Chinese guy is fucking kind of, like, super offensive. If it was just that he turned into a white guy, I'd be less offended. Does that make sense?
That does make sense,
because
yeah.
Because it's in China. And, like, even though, if he had just turned into the same guy but with white skin instead of
black skin,
then I would be more accepting of it, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
But I guess...
I think it's safe to say that racism is relative to where you live.
Now, what they should have done is he should have went in a black guy, and then they washed him, and he comes out, he's Chinese, but then he still steals a car and rapes a white woman.
Oh, no.
But he's a Chinese guy. So then they show that, actually, this product is dangerous because it's going to make it so that black criminals can get away from crimes. How much of this is going in the podcast?
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
What's in your backpack, by the way?
Bunch of stuff.
You have a bunch of stuff, dude. Hey, it feels nice and cool here.
Yeah, it's because we're really close to the...
You don't want to just cross the street?
Well, I was just waiting for all these cars. So I was just going to go up to the stop sign so we don't have to wait.
All right.
Well, you guys are doing cheese plates?
Yeah, we do cheese and beer pairings. So we actually, every month we're in here on the first Saturday, and we take some of our cheeses that we have in stock, and we pair with whatever beers we have.
We got the...
Today.
did you pick?
We go with the Power Plant Triple IPA, the Dad's Army, which is an English IPA, the Citra, which is a citrus IPA, Mayberry, which is like kind of their flagship IPA, so I wanted to try it, and the Passionate Dog, which is a wheat IPA with passion fruit.
Wheat IPA?
Wheat. Oh, wheat. I think it's the White Dog, which is a wheat IPA, and I just put passion fruit in it.
Okay. This is pretty cool, though.
It's a cool spot, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if this is... It's probably not picking us up at all.
That's okay. What it's all think? For natural sound.
Yeah, that's true. Just use it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it better once we go out.
Just intersplice some stuff in here.
In fact, I'll even turn it off for now and just enjoy the beers. So we just pretty much finished the flight. Well, there's still some left.
There's a good amount left.
Which one do you want to finish up?
I don't know. I guess the triple, the power plant.
All right.
What do you think?
I'll finish off number four. This one?
Yeah. So this power plant triple IPA is like...
I mean, I've had double IPAs. You're saying that's triple? Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's very hoppy. It's good, though.
You get a lot of alcohol coming through it. On the first sip, it really burns. And now that my taste buds are a little bit gone, it's not as noticeable. But the alcohol comes through super strong.
Yeah.
It's a pretty balanced flavor, though, honestly. It's not one of those ones that leaves, like, a really strong bitter aftertaste or anything. It's just kind of there, and then it's gone, which is nice.
It's good. I like it.
There is also a problem with doubles and triples where you end up with like a syrupy kind of flight, and there's none of that. This is actually a really well done triple, I think.
Yeah.
Comparatively, they had another triple that was called Nuclear Power Plant, but you couldn't get growlers of it. They only had it at one time, but it was just a step above better than this.
What's the ABV on it?
11.1.
Ooh. That'll put some hair on your chest.
Yeah, it does.
You drink a six-pack of that? Fuck.
Yeah, right?
You're done.
You're done for.
I don't know about you, but I'd be soused after two beers.
Yeah, right?
Holy shit.
I'm trying to see. We got something called El Cinco de Segundo. I don't know what it is. It doesn't even say what kind of beer it is.
How do you feel about beers that have, like, jalapeno in them?
I've had one that
Spicy
I really
beers.
Liked. I had one that I really liked. It was cilantro jalapeno IPA from Highland Park.
I tried a shot, like, of these, smaller than that, from Wasatch. We went to Wasatch Brewing in Park City. I tried their jalapeno, whatever it was. That's too much. I can't do that.
No.
I can't do that. But you like it, though. You like the one that you
I
have.
Like that one. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever liked any other ones.
Hop Plunge.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty good one, too.
I kind of want to try that.
Want to try the Hop Plunge?
Yeah.
You might want to do another flight. What do you think?
Okay. One of us should finish that.
Yeah. Citra. After that triple, the citra is a little...
It's child's play. It's like you're drinking at the fifth grade level.
Eh. It's a little Jeb Bush compared to George Bush, you know?
It's the establishment.
It's low energy.
You don't want the establishment. You want something that's outside of the establishment.
Not like a goofy Elizabeth Warren.
I like how they can go from politics to cultural issues
to horses.
To horses, economics.
They run the gambit. That's the point of this.
This is a catch-all podcast.
It really is.
We do it all.
It's also a background noise podcast this episode. How many people do you think could even stand listening to this?
Oh, one or two.
Yeah, exactly.
That's mostly just me and you. It's literally just us that listens to the podcast.
Consideration paid for by the following. What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indy Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with The Sports Lounge, The TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's blog, A Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I think you just knocked something off of there because you were pushing the papers over.
Oh, I don't know. Clumsy.
You knocked a bunch of coasters into the trash.
Oh, shit. I'm such an idiot.
You're such an asshole.
Should I tell him?
Yeah, we're definitely going to tell him.
Okay. I knocked a bunch of coasters, sorry.
We're going to do another fight. See Keanu?
I have not.
It's great. It's amazing. It's like the best movie ever.
I was going to Redbox it. It's got something to do with a cat?
Yeah. Okay. It's so good.
Isn't it like a spoof of John Wick or something? Or no, am I just... Because in John Wick, Keanu Reeves has a puppy that gets killed.
No, yes and no. I could see the reference.
We're both dog owners, so that affects us on a personal level.
I could see the reference, but it's not really a take on it. But it's like a slight nod.
Okay. I'll have to watch it, but I don't go to the movies anymore, dude.
That's the first movie I've seen in the theater in like years.
I go to the movies like twice a year, if that.
Right.
We mostly just read. We have Amazon, we have Hulu, we have Netflix.
I have everything.
Dude, come on to Denver. Come on. Don't be a dick. Come in Denver.
I will.
We'll go to
Brewery. That should be the slogan. Don't be a dick.
Come to Denver.
You probably should.
America's going through a beer renaissance right now. Denver's like a hot spot for beer. You know?
Damn. I believe you.
Okay, so we just left El Segundo. We had three flights. We went on three different flights. Holy shit, we had some good beer there, Tim. I think so. Unless you don't want to.
Nah. It should be unlocked. So.
Whew.
All right, so we just left.
Why is everything so expensive in California?
We just left El Segundo because it's good. It's worthwhile to be here, that's why.
It is.
They charge you more.
You know what's
fun? Premium for being happy.
People complain in Colorado about if you're not a native, but no one in California gives a shit where you're from.
Yeah, because everyone here is from somewhere else.
Unless you're not.
Except for me.
But if you're not from somewhere else, you don't care who is from where.
Right.
Because believe me, where I'm from, I wouldn't want the whole state to be filled with those people. I'm serious. I wouldn't want all of California to be filled with people who are from where I'm from.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But you're from California.
I know. That's why it's good that there's diversity.
Oh, I guess I get what you mean.
Yeah. You know what I'm
I'm saying?
Yeah. So we just left El Segundo.
That place was good.
It was really good. It was really loud. We recorded what we could.
It was very loud.
So I don't know what's going to be used and what's not going to be used from the recording in the brewery. So we started out with our first. So this was the plan. We're going to go to El Segundo Brewery. And we're going to have IPAs because that's what they're known for. That's what they're good at. They make a lot of IPAs. There was some pre-right now ramble that got recorded. So once again, I don't know what's going to get used. I don't know what's real, what's fake at this point. But that's what El Segundo is all about. They make good IPAs, lots of powerful hops. They are down here. They're in beautiful downtown El Segundo, California, which I don't know if there is even an uptown and a downtown El Segundo. Stone Cold Steve Austin lives close to here. I met Stone Cold Steve Austin at this brewery before.
Tell me about that.
There's a picture of me with him on the internet that you could find everywhere, and you could see me hanging out with Stone Cold and El Segundo Brewery. It was a nice melding of my two hobbies, which is beer and wrestling, right?
It really was.
And podcasting, because Stone Cold's a podcaster, a wrestler, and we're in a brewery. It was the perfect situation for me.
He had a whole episode where he talked about a fly he wanted to attack.
That he was going to fight or kill or something. Anyways, so that's where we are. We are at El Segundo Brewery. We had three different flights of beers. Each flight consisted of five beers, and there's still five more beers that we didn't even try. So they had 30 beers on tap, all of them made in-house, nothing coming. They don't have any outside taps. They're 100% locally sourced. That's not right. Well, kind of. Maybe their ingredients are, but everything, all the beers are made here.
Local enough.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go down the list of the beers that we tried. The first one was the Citra IPA. A lot of people know El Segundo Brewing for the Citra IPA. It's your bare bones, basic, run-of-the-mill IPA. I think it's kind of weird that they call it Citra, because I actually really like Citra hops, but the Citra hops didn't shine in the beer. That's what I was expecting. I thought that the reason why it was called a Citra IPA was because it was like primarily Citra hops as the main hop in the beer. It was not. It was good. It was your run-of-the-mill SoCal IPA. Very good. It delivered, but it wasn't anything amazing. The next one, I think, is their more flagship, more well-known IPA, and that was the Mayberry. The Mayberry was, once again, kind of a basic SoCal IPA, but it did have like a zesty fruitiness to it. There was like a zing on the back end that came through a little bit. It was a little bit brighter flavoring. It wasn't anything too crazy. Then the next thing was the Dad's Office. And the Dad's Office is a English IPA, which was definitely, that's a lot more Adrian's speed. I don't like the old world hops as much, I don't think. So you definitely taste it. It's funny. It's a very, there is the like ESB, extra special bitters, old school English flavor in there, but they really kind of brewed it in the California style. So
yeah, which you pointed out.
Yeah. It very much had that British ESB flavor, but was with the overhopping and the aggressive flavor palette of California IPA, which I appreciated, but it was not necessarily something I would go gaga over. The next thing I had marked down here was the Power Plant Triple IPA, which I thought was very good for a triple. I mean, honestly, probably one of the best triple IPAs I'd have ever had. There was none of the syrupy sweetness, nothing too crazy overpowering, but a lot of alcohol warmth coming through on the back end. But very well balanced and super hoppy. What, Adrian, do you remember the Power Plant?
Yeah, I do. And it was very hoppy, Tim. And I've had a double IPAs where I'm like, oh, holy shit, this is hoppy. This triple. This kind of took me for a loop, you know? But in a good way. I liked it. It was delicious. You know, it was strong. I could definitely taste the alcohol more on that than any of the other ones, which I don't always want to taste, but, you know. And a triple, I guess, what can you expect, right? I
mean, yeah, but there was a lot of heat from the alcohol. But, like I said, not very smooth-bodied triple IPA. The hops didn't overpower in any way. Just, it was really, honestly, it's funny. Like I said, El Segundo is known for being a hop bomb brewery, but everything we had today from them was very well balanced. Nothing was overpowering on the hop end of the spectrum. I don't think so. Personally, I don't remember anything that was kind of overdone in the hops, felt like overkill. So it was really well balanced. None of the syrupy sweetness, none of the kind of like that bad, like kind of chemically aftertaste that you can get sometimes with over hop stuff. It was like, that's a triple IPA, and a triple IPA that was coming in, I think, at 11% alcohol, 11.1% alcohol, and all you're getting is, like, a little bit of heat on the back end, but nothing too insane. It's, like, that's a beer I think you could drink. For a triple IPA, it's, like, a sessionable triple IPA, which is kind of insane if you think about what that means. The final one on our first, because our first round was really our hop forward, let's get a good kind of character profile of all the hop flavors. I was trying to go everywhere within the IPAs that they had there, and nothing that was going to be too similar. So the final one was kind of our wild card IPA of this, and it was the Passion Dog, which is a play on their White Dog, which is a wheat based IPA. So it's kind of like a white ale or a white beer. Think of like a Shock Top or a Blue Moon beer that's hopped like an IPA. So this also was then, I think, probably either barrel or dry hop or dry age or like something afterwards added in passion fruit. So it's a white IPA with passion fruit. And the Adrian kept saying it was like grapefruit flavor was coming through for him.
I said grapefruit, but it was passion fruit.
Yeah, but it had that citrus, the notes coming through of the citrus.
Oh, for sure.
But not like just a plain lemon lime kind of citrus thing. No, it had like complexity. That's why you're saying like the grapefruit complexity, the sweetness, but nothing. I could see someone saying it's a little bit too sweet, but I personally wouldn't. I think the bitter kind of balanced the sweet really well.
Yeah.
The white from the wheat kind of also added like a depth of character in the backbone of the beer. I thought, all in all, I really enjoyed the Passion Dog. I think it would definitely be a highly recommended beer for me. Out of these five, I think if I'm telling you which beer could I drink every day of the week, it would definitely be the Passion Dog. And then if I'm going to say which beer would be like special occasion, I would go for that Power Plant. Because I think that Power Plant for a triple IPA, if you're trying to get fucking snookered, if you're trying to get really bombed out and enjoy yourself and not like have your flavor, like your taste buds just blown out. Like, I don't know about you, Adrian, but when I drink, like, ultra-hoppy beers, I'm drinking them by themselves, you know? I'm not eating that, like, drinking this with a meal. But I think somehow that Power Plant Triple IPA is a beer that's a Triple IPA that I think I could still have with my food. Like, I could eat something with that Triple IPA and not, like, have it completely ruin my taste buds. What would you agree, or what do you think?
No, I agree. It wasn't too... I get intimidated by beers like that.
Right, you get scared.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? Out of these five, what are you going with? What's your...
Passion.
The passion.
The passion. And Dad's Army was really good.
So you like the Dad's Army. I could see why. But, like, give me some elaborate... Do you remember enough to give me, like, an elaborate...
Let's see. Dad's Army, you wrote in here, Old World Bittery. I like that that sort of...
Earthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what does it for me. That was really good. I mean, like I said, they were all good, but Dad's Army was good. The Passion was really good. The IPA, the Power Plant, that was very run of the mill. That was the weakest one, but it was still really good.
But the Power Plant was not the weakest one.
Oh, wait.
The Mayberry?
That's what I'm thinking about. Citra, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were also good. But I would go with Dad's Army and Passion if I had to choose just the two. And then
similar to what I'm saying, right? Like the Passion is kind of a, I could drink that every day.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting something special from it.
Especially during the summer when it's hot.
Right,
You crack open a nice cold Passion, it's like, yeah, that's good.
So that Passion Dog, that's where it's at. So
that's where it's at for me.
So the next, we got another flight. So we already said we got three flights.
Three.
The first two are business. The last one was pleasure. And we're going to keep that third flight to ourselves.
Okay.
But I am going to say that on the third flight is when we got the barrel-aged stout, and I think we both really liked the barrel-aged stout. But there was also the Smoky Hollow. It was a Scotch ale that was over-smoked.
Oh,
that was something special. And I've had the Scotch ale a couple times there. I actually, Adrian, I don't know if you believe this, but I got that Scotch Ale, the super smoky Scotch Ale. I got that filled into the 2-liter growler, which is 64 ounces of beer.
That's what you got?
Yeah, I got that before.
Oh, not today.
Okay. But before, I got 64 ounces of that Scotch Ale, which is really smoky, smoky ale. So I like it a lot. I think it's a really good beer. But
it's a winter beer.
Oh yeah, for sure. But so that's our private. If any of you fans out there, you want to know about our secret third flight that we had, that's the kind of flight that you only have in person. So if you're ever willing to pay for the Lucha Undead Experience ride. You have to fly Adrian out to Southern California. You have to pay for his plane ticket and his board.
And his room is board.
And then you can come down yourself, and then you meet up with us, and then you essentially fit the tab for the whole time, and you can hang out with us at breweries. That's the deal, and that is the Lucha Undead Experience full experience package.
I don't think you'll regret it either, because...
No, you definitely won't.
Especially with Tim, because he knows what he's talking about. I just know what tastes good. It's one of those, I may not know art, but I know what I like.
That's true.
And that smoky one was good.
Oh, it was. So this is the thing. Adrian doesn't know art, but he knows what he likes. And me, on the other hand, is that I don't know what is pornography, but I know it when I see it. That's how I play. So the second flight, though, that we got was a little bit less eclectic. It was a lot of stuff that really was tasting derivative. I got marked down here. There was a double IPA called Hop Plunge, which I think they just recently are releasing for the first time in bottles. And I think that was a special event that just recently happened there, because I noticed they had bottles of it there. So Hop Plunge was a double IPA that really, if we're being 100% honest, kind of just tasted like the Citra Bare Bones IPA turned up to 11.
Which I said.
Yeah. That's all it was. It was the Citra IPA turned up, a little bit more alcohol, a little bit more bitterness, but realistically it was not, I don't know, I wouldn't personally call it a big time double IPA. I think they do it. El Segundo Brewery does a great job at their IPAs. Their hop flavors and profiles are very good, very balanced. But I mean, releasing this as a second double IPA when realistically it's just the same as their kind of bare bones IPA with just a little bit more alcohol, to me just doesn't seem right.
Almost feels kind of redundant, really.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick them apart completely for it, but I kind of get where they're coming from. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I want something special. Like, if I'm going to drink a double IPA, I want to really experience something a little bit more. To me, the Hop Plunge wasn't really a stinker, but knowing what it was, it felt a little gimmicky. It feels like, I hate to say it, but it feels like a little bit of a cash grab to say, like, oh, this is a double IPA. We're going to charge you twice as much, and it's, you know, about the same flavor as this other just single IPA. But, you know, whatever. That's more power to them. That's working out for them. There was a Hammerland, which was another double IPA, which to me, I think was very good. I don't know if Adrian remembers it, but it had a lot of fruity zestiness to it. There was definitely a unique flavor profile to it. It was definitely its own. It was its own beer. It was a double IPA. It had a lot of flavor, nothing, but it wasn't insane. I think the problem too at this point comparing double and single IPAs at El Segundo was that their triple IPA really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like anything below that is just going to pale in comparison. But if you are a more, I guess, not limited, but if you kind of aren't a huge IPA hop fan, I could definitely understand wanting to go for one of the doubles rather than the big triple.
I could go back and forth, honestly.
I could see that. But I guess my point is that, as you said about being afraid of beers like that,
yeah.
If you were afraid of the idea of drinking a triple IPA, I can totally see drinking one of their double IPAs. But, I mean, I'm going to let you in on the other side of the velvet rope here as, like, a beer person. Don't be afraid of the triple IPA, especially from El Segundo, and just drink that. Because it's not going to get you fucked up, really, any worse than the double. And you're going to get a lot, especially from them, you're going to get a lot more flavor and a lot a lot more bang for your buck, honestly, from that beer. But I digress. From there, we got into the one and only Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
Yes.
Adrian, do you remember this?
I do.
Okay, do you want to get into it?
I like the Broken Skull. It wasn't my favorite from this flight, but it was good. It definitely stood out from all the rest, which I would assume with a character as big as Stone Cold, it's supposed to, right? So, but I enjoyed it, though, you know? That was a... What kind was that? It was a skull. What was the type, though?
It's just a single IPA.
It was good.
Yeah, it's just... The Broken Skull was just a regular IPA, but it has a vibrant kind of flavor to it. There's a lot going on, honestly. It's a big beer. It really is a big beer, but it's very smooth and well-balanced. It's 100% IPA. There's no question that you're drinking an IPA when you drink it. It's honestly, in some ways, a stereotypical IPA. Like, I am drinking a Southern California Hop Bomb, Citra, Mosaic. You got all the hops coming through. But at the same time, it's something just noticeably different that you know what you're drinking. From the moment it touches your tongue, you know you're drinking a different beer. You're not just drinking any other IPA.
I agree.
And it really doesn't blow out your flavor palate to the point where I told Adrian, this is like a session IPA. But it's not a low alcohol content either. I mean, I know Stone Cold was very hands-on in the process of putting the beer together. He knows what he likes. And I honestly, the man was, you know, one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. It doesn't matter what you say about if you think he wasn't the best in-ring. He was very good in-ring. He was also very good on the mic. He was super charismatic. He had his problems, you know. I'm not, like, going to say he's the most perfect human being on the planet. But he was very good at what he did. And he brought that same level of commitment and passion to brewing beer, if that makes any sense. Like, he made sure to have a beer that stands out and couldn't really offend anyone.
So it wasn't one of those things where celebrities will endorse a perfume that has their name on it, but they don't actually have anything to do with the perfume. Like, this is him actually having a hands-on approach to how he wanted that beer to be brewed.
He was involved very much from beginning to end, and that was a big deal for him. He talked about it openly. That was a big deal for him about making a beer with his name on it, is that he wasn't going to just put out some shitty beer and just slap a label on it that says Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was going to make sure that it was a beer that he would drink, and I get it, because I really enjoyed it, and I think it's a very sessionable SoCal IPA. I think if you're someone who listens to this podcast, and let's say you don't drink a lot of beer, you're not a huge beer person, but you kind of want to get into whatever, this is definitely a beer for you. I mean, it's got a lot of flavor. It's an introductory IPA. It's definitely an introductory Southern California IPA, and it's really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, whatever Southern California is doing with IPAs, they're clearly doing a good job, because I enjoyed everything we had today. There was only like one or two or three that were the weakest of everything we had, but that was just relative weakness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And even the weak ones, were good. From there, we got into some stuff that was a little bit more experimental. They had for Cinco de Mayo, or maybe it was just happened to be named after that, but they had the El Cinco de Segundo. I didn't even know. This ended up being an IPA that was very vivid. I think it might have been like a Spanish-style cerveza mixed with IPA, but there was nothing too insane about it, but it was, like I said, vivid, like very bright flavors. It came through citrusy, nothing really muddled or gamey to it. It was definitely a good one. I don't know if you remember it at all.
I do. I think I said it was like a Tecate of, like... It was like a gourmet Tecate beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something like that.
Yeah, but no. Oh, actually,
it was good though.
I think you're thinking of the Casa Azul, which was from our third mystery.
Oh, my bad. I totally just screwed the pooch on that one.
You just
no.
You just divulged a little bit of secret proprietary information. No.
That was a tease. Yeah. Well, so we're talking about the which one?
El Cinco de Segundo. No. It was the IPA. It was a little bit hop forward.
Uh-huh.
It, like I said, was vivid and had a lot of bright citrus flavors, okay, yeah. Fruity.
I remember that one. Yeah, that was good.
It was definitely good, but at this point, I think we were getting probably a little hopped out.
We were.
This was towards the end of our hop venture.
Yeah, we hopped all over the place.
But the last beer from this five couplet was the hop lager.
Oh.
And I don't know if Adrian remembers this one, but I feel like this is 100% up your alley.
What was it called?
Hop lager.
Hop lager.
Which I thought was funny that you weren't familiar, because I know that you're a man who likes a good pilsner and a good lager.
I do.
And
are we almost there yet? Because I got to pee really bad.
We're very close. I don't know if they don't have them out in Colorado, or if, you know, you're just not familiar personally, but out here there are a few different breweries who make hoppy lagers, and it's definitely an interesting style. Me personally, not being a lager fan, I'm not into them as much, but this was a solid hoppy lager. It's an IPL. It's an India Pale Lager. It's got that backbone. It's got the lager kind of biscuity, fruity. Adrian describes it as like a honey flavor.
I love the honey
with the
of it.
With the bitter kind of hoppiness overboard. Adrian, if you want to take over, you can describe it from there.
It just has like a very sweet honey, smooth flavor. That's how I tasted it. And it's not like overpowering. I wouldn't know it was an IPA if you hadn't told me that. But it was delicious. It was like nectar of the gods or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it was good. I know what I like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that one.
I completely agree with you on that. I definitely enjoy it. I'm not a huge lager fan, but it was a very good lager with a lot of hoppy bitterness. And overall, a very good beer. So, Adrian, from those five, what's your kind of winners?
What's my top beer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it right now. Okay. My top beer? Passion. Oh.
The passion is definitely your top beer from the first bite.
Fuck. Hoppy Plunge. Fuck it. I'm going to go with that one.
You're
gonna
go for the
hop liked plunge? It. I liked it a lot.
Hop Plunge, okay.
Yeah, and then from the first flight, the passion.
No,
those are my top beers for today. What about you?
I'm going to go for the passion from the first flight. It was definitely my top beer. Passion, top beer from the first flight. Second flight, I'm going to go with the Broken Skull.
You're going with Broken Skull?
Yeah, I think it was a good... It's definitely a good starter IPA, and I think it was... It was solid, and it was a beer that I could drink every day of the week. So that's my two top beers are beers I could think I could drink every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to drink the Passion every day. Are you kidding? You wake up, it's warm outside, and you go by the pool if you're into that kind of thing. I don't know. Tim, you live on the coast. You go to the beach. You want to take a beer with you. What are you going to choose more besides the Passion? So let's...
Passion, though.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, folks, that completes part two of our special episode of Top Beer, IPAs in LA. We'll be back next week with the exciting final conclusion of our Top Beer journey, where things will get a little sour, literally. Remember that this feed is moving to the PTBN Pop feed, which you can find on iTunes right now and will soon be available on Stitcher or wherever else you get your podcast. Remember to follow us at Lucha Undead on Twitter and Instagram. And next week, we'll be back with your regularly scheduled program of Lucha Undead. The music used in this episode was by the musical group Yacht. Our theme is by Broke for Free, Living in Reverse, as well as additional music by Greg Davies.